Hello and welcome back to yet another episode of the Yellow and Blues podcast. The Asia Cup is in full swing. The first of India-Pakistan games has finished, so we'll have a look at that. As usual, part of this podcast, you know, my co-host Venkat joining me. Hello, Venkat, how are you?
Hi, Srini. I'm doing very well, thanks. Enjoying the final few weeks of English summer.
Yes. The cricket season almost is coming to an end. Here in England, you know, it's just, well, most of the leagues have almost finished, bar the odd game or two. I guess it's just a few friendlies left before the English weather sets in the winter and the dark days move in. let's not look at that. Let's look at the more positive sort of, like, you know, enjoying the India-Pakistan game and the Asia Cup.
Yep.
Obviously, this, right? I mean, after we finish this Asia Cup, there is, you know, there's non-stop cricket action. We've been talking about this for a while, you know, India literally finished the Asia Cup and then go to play South Africa and Australia at home before they head on to the World Cup. So, preparations are in full swing, you can say, for India and the rest of the world as well, you know, in terms of the World Cup.
It is indeed. It's going to be very busy, you know, cricketing still. I'm, for one, happy about the back-to-back matches, because in the English summer, winter, you're not going to be able to do much of sports. You know, following helps us, you know, keep our sanity.
Well, actually, sir, I mean, normally we would sort of, you know, cover the general news in terms of, you know, what's happening in the cricketing world. I guess our focus right now is more on the Asia Cup, but just on the sort of news front, there's a couple of things. Interesting to see that Tim David has been announced.
Yeah.
For the Australian T20 World Cup.
Yeah. I could see that coming. So, you know, he's got a very decent run. So I think it would be interesting. We are still following Indian cricket, but we are also have to pay attention to our competition.
Yeah.
And I think our competition has just gone a notch up with the addition of Tim David.
A couple of others, just keeping, you know, kind of in terms of news outside of on mainstay cricket, there's the new Legends League that's happening. Legends League cricket, and Sehwag and Gambhir, etc., are playing. So I think that's due to start in September 16th, and then there's also the Road Safety World Series that's been happening for a few years, but I suppose it's been stopped in COVID. And Sachin's back again, leading the Indian side for the Road Safety World Series. So, there's a few bits and bobs kind of outside of cricket, you know, that's happening. So the Legends League is interesting, you know, there's people like Sehwag, Harbhajan, the Pathan brothers, Kale Steyn, Muralidharan, and all. And even Owen Morgan is actually, like, you know, he's leading England.
He just returned a couple of weeks back. What is he doing there? Well, suppose, I mean, he's a legend in his own right. I mean, there's no denying that he led England to World Cup cricket. But, you know, you'd expect, you know, to give it some time.
On the other side, you know, I'm just looking at the squad for the India Maharajas, you know, which is being led by Saurabh Ganguly. It's got people like Ashok Dinda, Joginder Sharma. We'll give Joginder Sharma the legend, because he obviously won the T20 World Cup. But seeing people like Stuart Binney, Shishan's actually playing. That should be interesting.
That's gold. I'm watching that series already now.
But yeah, putting, like, you know, Ashok Dinda and Ritinder Singh Sodhi in the legends bracket is a bit, that's just a bit too much.
Can we check if Harbhajan Singh is part of that with with Srishant?
Harbhajan Singh and Srishant are part of it. So.
Yeah, let's see if they slap each other now.
So that'll be interesting. I mean, the world giants, that's proper. Most of them properly we call legends. You know, Morgan, Jack Cully, Sachin Gill, Sanat Jayasurya, Matt Prior, Jonty Rhodes, Murali, Steyn. Mustafi Murtaza has actually been, so it's a bit of, I guess, hit and miss, but some fun things there. One other, before we go into like sort of news, I don't know if you managed to see it, was Moeen Ali is actually, we talked about this a bit, in the last couple of episodes of the podcast, around how it is not far from when a particular player will belong to a team in one of the franchises and play. It's not come to fruition yet, but it's interesting that there's two different leagues, the IL T20 league that's happening in the UAE, January, February, and South Africa have also got their T20 league starting in around, so there's an overlap. And Moeen Ali signed up for Sharjah Warriors or something like that, here in the IL T20. But he's also signed up for the I think Johannesburg Super Kings. And the Johannesburg Super Kings are actually owned by the Chennai Super Kings.
Yeah.
Obviously Moeen plays for Chennai as well. Whereas the IL T20 team, the Sharjah Warriors, they are actually owned by the Gujarat Titans franchise. That seems to be a clash brewing up as to where is he going to spend most of his time in which league, or whether he's actually going to play in both the league parallel, sort of play a few games here and a few games there. He's committed to say I'm going to play in the IL T20 predominantly. That's going to be a priority.
Yeah.
But you would think how is that going to have an effect on dynamics? To say actually you're part of CSK, it's our team in Johannesburg, and so we would like you to play there. So quite a bit of sort of interesting conversations and things.
Yeah, I think that is bound to happen, and then there will be consolidation of the leagues as well at some point in time. Would they go as a different team, or would it be the same team which kind of participates in there as well? That is a possibility as well, where you do have a separate team. I don't know. We will have to wait and see how much of these players would go from one team to another, because teams invest a lot of time and energy in kind of upkeep of the team morale, training, tactics, and the leadership and whatnot. So I think it makes sense. We will have the circus troop going from one city to another playing. That's what it's going to look like in the years to come.
Yeah. The other one, just kind of before, from a news perspective, to just touch on is the BBL overseas draft that happened. Turns out Andre Russell and I think Saf du Plessis were not picked up, which is a bit of a surprise, but whereas they were actually on all the promotion and etc. for the BBL, Saf du Plessis and Andre Russell etc. were being used, and then eventually the CA decided to sort of shelve it, and they haven't been picked up. So I was that's a bit of an embarrassing one for both of those guys not being picked. They are trying to do a draft format similar to the auction that the IPL. I don't think anybody still got the hang of doing the draft of the IPL the way the IPL does. It's almost coming up to 15 years, and it's a real slick operation with the IPL in terms of how to run the auction process, which the rest of the teams are trying but not quite probably getting the hang. So moving on, the Asia Cup, as I said, full swing. As we record this podcast, Sri Lanka are chasing Bangladesh 183-7,
second wicket just fell. So 45-2 or 1. I think the first wicket just fell.
Yeah, the first wicket fell. It's a bit surprised that Sri Lanka or Bangladesh are actually, one of them will actually not make it to the Super Four. I suppose you could have. I'm not sure, we would have said about, but maybe that's not fair on Afghanistan, because they, even though Afghanistan don't play a lot of international T20s, I think their players have got a lot of experience having played across various different leagues. Comfortable. Both the wins for Afghanistan were pretty comfortable.
Yeah, pretty comfortable. Yeah, and then there is this war of words. I don't know which one is now more interesting, India, Pakistan, or Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, because they're just seeming to have go at each other. It's the time to show who they are in the field and this and that.
I think it all started in that Nidahas Trophy in Sri Lanka a couple of years ago, and 3-4 years ago, and I think it's been
quite interesting. Yeah, it reminds me of the WWF, the wrestling, where people have a go at then go. I'm not saying that this is as staged as that, but you know, I think it helps to, sometimes to get the best out of their players. Bangladesh certainly have, but irrespective of who turn up, I always believe T20 is a very tough format to play because you can have four or five bad deliveries as a batting team, and then that's it. Your thing is over, so I wouldn't judge too much.
I mean, that's probably a good segue, you know, to go to actually India-Hong Kong match before we look at the kind of India-Pakistan match. You know, just at this point, looking at the match yesterday, like, you know, Hong Kong actually were, you would say, in the game for long periods, and it's just that, like, you know, that amazing innings by Surya Kumar Yadav, and that last over that sort of made the score go from, like, you know, competitive to almost
impossible to get.
Yeah, impossible to get for Hong Kong. And that's kind of a good point to make about, like, you know, it's just a few deliveries here and there.
Yeah,
and it completely, like, shifts.
It did shift yesterday for the better of India, and rightfully so. But I think, yeah, Hong Kong, just going on that match, I think it would be, they punched way above their weight. To score 152 against India and to lose that game only by 40 runs, and that 40 runs courtesy Surya Kumar Yadav, who really blitzed it towards the end. Otherwise, yeah, India may have been struggling had 20, 30 runs short.
Exactly. And that last two overs actually, like, you know, brought in that 39 runs.
Yep.
26 of the last over and 13 of the over before that. So India actually scored about 59 runs in the last five overs. Yes, it looks like almost all an over and kind of thing. But even the last six overs, I think, 6-7 overs in India got something close to like 90 runs, probably somewhere around that. But it's those two overs really, like, you know, sort of moved the needle. That was in effect the difference at the end of the day, overall.
Yeah. 26 runs of the last, if they would have avoided the last over.
Yeah.
You know, they would be pretty much in the hunt.
Even if it had gone for, like, you know, sort of 10 odd runs, you know, rather than the 26, you're suddenly looking at, instead of chasing 192, you're chasing more like 175 or something like that. And it makes a massive difference, you know, sort of.
Yes. Coming towards the end, yeah.
Yeah, you're only doing, like, you know, sort of 8.5 an over chase, as opposed to, like, you know, having to chase almost 10 an over.
Yeah.
Right from the beginning. That just that kind of mindset thing makes a massive difference. I can't remember I was watching, I think it was the India-Pakistan game the other day, and I was watching at home, and I was talking about saying, oh, India have to chase 8 and over sort of in the last 10, 12, and it's like,
yeah.
8 and over is nothing these days in 10, 12.
No, it is.
Literally, like, again, as we just said, 60 in the last 5 is comfortably attainable. Rightly on that, India-Hong Kong, obviously, you know, all of the focus has been on Surya Kumar Yadav. Six sixes and six boundaries, you know, 68. He's obviously been quite consistent for a while now, but we should probably just talk about Virat Kohli. For me, this was actually a good game for him. You know, I say it was a good game for him. I think he would have been under more pressure if he had, pre the series, you know, talking to, like, Task Force, the broadcaster, you know, he said a lot of things about how, in terms of mental space, not playing for almost a month completely, not even touching the bat, and he was kind of getting into that stress and all of those things. You know, he talked about mental health and everything else, which actually I thought was, like, quite good, you know, for him to come out and talk about all of those things. I know a lot of people probably don't even listen or bother. They just think every time Kohli goes out, he has got to get 100, and if he doesn't, then it's not, I mean, I know within our kind of, you know, when we have conversations, there's this expectation that if Kohli doesn't score 100, he's basically, like, you know, not performed.
Yeah, even I think yesterday's knock, there were comments which said, I think, yeah, to circle back on what you were saying, Kohli, I think for me personally, looks to be on the way out. I always underline this with with how harsh T20 as a format is, you don't have any time to build up for an innings, and you do require a healthy dose of luck, which he got.
Not just in this game, even in the Pakistan game, he was dropped early on, even in the Pakistan game.
So, that could have been curtains, isn't it? The first ball he was meant to drive in. And
he did manage to get, like, you know, sort of, although he was out quite tamely in the end in that game, and especially like the fact, literally after Rohit Sharma was out, he was out almost playing the exact identical shot. Yeah. And yeah, the thing for me when looking at that shot was, if he had gone full blooded into that shot, you know, rather than kind of checking it in the end, that would have been six. Like, Ravindra Jadeja came after, like, you know, number four, and a couple of balls later, he hit him straight down, and he went full blooded, and it was a six.
Yeah.
So it was just, you think, this is just less about technical ability of Kohli, more about, you know, that mental space, the decision making. Because any other day, Kohli would have probably gone full-blooded into that, you know, and that would have been a six.
Yeah, I think you are absolutely right. I felt the same thing. I mean, I think that this the wicket previously in that over played in his mind, and so he just checked it. And I think he needs to trust more, and then he'd be the player we all know. I think once he gets a century, of course, T20 is not the right format for you to aim for a century. And the way he was setting up in those two games, I mean, because he played a more responsible innings and he performed the role of Sheetankar, having other players play around him, which was really refreshing to see.
Yeah, and it's also like, you know, I mean, a couple of other things. It's good to see KL Rahul getting some runs under the belt in the Hong Kong game. Again, you know, sort of in the Pakistan game, got out first ball. You know, KL Rahul really needs some runs under his belt, you know.
Yeah.
The focus is kind of on Kohli, but KL Rahul probably also needs, especially this year, he's not, no fault of his, you know, injury, COVID and all of those things. He's quite not being able to, like, you know, get on the pitch, and now that he's got his opportunity, it is probably good for him to get some runs under the belt. I mean, I still think the openers for India have, not quite delivered yet. It's the middle order across. If you think about the whole sort of season this year, you know, where India played everywhere, in like West Indies, everywhere else, even England, the openers haven't still delivered. I think if the openers can deliver, it's the middle order that's been rescuing India more often than not, you know, both in the Pakistan game and yesterday's game as well.
Yeah.
They have been the ones that have probably adding the runs. So I think Rohit Sharma also probably needs a little bit more runs under his belt, you know, going into the World Cup. All of those things make a difference. From a batting perspective, definitely Kohli getting into form is a good take. Surya Kumar Yadav being in form is a good take. Hardik Pandya, unbelievable finish in that Pakistan game. That's a big take for India. Just looking at from the batting side, I think if Rahul and Rohit Sharma can get a little bit of batting time and run quite formidably. Ravindra Jadeja actually, like, you know, putting it some runs against Pakistan. So it is there. Obviously, you still have Dinesh Karthik didn't get much of an opportunity in either game. Rishabh Pant didn't get an opportunity at all in this game. Just talking about Rishabh Pant, what did you make of that decision to leave Rishabh Pant out?
I was just going to touch upon that, and I thought it was... I think it's fair on Dinesh Karthik. Okay, first of all, I think in a T20 game, I think this is very Rahul decision, isn't it? I think probably he feels... Dinesh Karthik is more technically set up to hit on the ball rather than punt. And I'm not saying punt is a very, but you know, against slow bowling or, you know, things with, I think this is definitely goes to show that the team places trust in Dinesh Karthik. They don't want to, you know, bring him down now. And for me, it feels like he's almost a certainty in the World Cup fixtures. So one last hurrah before he kind of moves on. So I think that's what it does look like to me. But I know team selection is not based on sentiments.
Yeah, I mean, it will be some story, like, you know. So he played, obviously, in that first... I'm pretty sure he played in that first World Cup in 2007. In fact, Dinesh Karthik is the only player who's still currently playing since India played its first T20 back in 2006, against South Africa. He was in that first game. You know, he made his in all of the Indian players who made the T20 debut, Dinesh Karthik played in that game. You know, even the likes of Tendulkar, etc., played in that single first T20 against South Africa. So, which means he's now been playing almost what 16 years from a T20 perspective. I suppose I'm trying to think of it. I agree with you in terms of Dinesh Karthik. But there's a different dimension that Rishabh Pant brings in, and especially going to Australia. I just think like there is this thing, I suppose, not just the Australians, but the rest of them. And given all his heroics in Australia, the previous tour, I'm pretty sure. Then you know he's definitely going. He will be on the squad. There is no doubt about that. You know, but how many games will he play? Maybe it's just like, you know, sort of whether they do it the similar way they've done now here, where they rested Hardik Pandya and kind of, you know, preserve him. There are probably certain games there where they might just rest Hardik Pandya and play Rishabh Pant.
Of course, I think that's one thing, and you need a backup keeper as well. I know Rahul can keep and this and that. And, I think between Dinesh Karthik and Pant, they do provide a good segue into as a backup keeper in any of the fixtures, because keeping is a very crucial position in T20 more than anything, because every buy is every run when it counts. You need a strong keeper. So, yeah, there are, and take nothing away from Dinesh Karthik. He earned the spot here, despite Rishabh Pant. And Rishabh Pant has loads of time in his hand. I think Dinesh Karthik is in that frame of mind where he believes he can finish. So, you know, so be it. Let's see how that goes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for sure, like, you know, this World Cup will be the swan song for Dinesh Karthik. And I think Virat Kohli as well will probably retire from international T20s after this. Well, at least that's my hope. You know, I hope he doesn't carry on playing and gets that spot for somebody else. There are, I'm not saying like, you know, the likes of Ishan Kishan or Deepak Hooda, Shreyas Iyer, etc. can replace Virat Kohli in prime, but he also knows that, you know, they are waiting in the wings, you know, and he can't sort of carry on with that. So I suspect that will happen once the World Cup is done. It's kind of, he'll probably carry on with the IPL, but he'll probably step down from the T20I format. Talking about kind of, you know, I mean, the focus is kind of pretty much presented on the batting front. I think, and we mentioned Hardik Pandya in passing around that, but the fact that Hardik Pandya and his finishing off in Virat Kohli, he actually managed to even get an over in against Hong Kong, and he managed to bowl an over. So you never know, like, you know, Virat Kohli, the all-rounder, might turn up in Australia and dethrone, you know, if he starts to bowl one over, no made in, none for six. It was interesting to see him, like, you know, bowl as a sixth bowler in Hardik Pandya's absence. What I found interesting in terms of, you know, from a bowling perspective as well for India, both in the Hong Kong game as well as, I mean, the Pakistan game, Hardik Pandya obviously did it well, you know, in terms of bowling, short ball and bounces. They were actually, like, you know, which got all of Hardik's wickets. I think that will be a very, very good weapon in Australia with the big ground, the short ball and kind of, you know, the extra pace in some of the Australian grounds. It's quite a different approach from India to bowl. Even Ashdeep Singh, you know, sort of the first wicket against Hong Kong, was a bouncer. He got that wicket. So they will be, like, you know, a slightly different approach that India is taking, you know. So it's not just one dimensional, where it's just the early Bhuvneshwar Kumar game that they're dependent on.
I think Bhuvneshwar would play more as a death bowler more than the start. They would start with slow bowling and all that. And so let's see.
And it's good to obviously have, like, you know, a different angle in terms of Ashish Singh. The one person I think I'm still not sold on is Avesh Khan. If Deepak Chahar is fit, would I take Deepak Chahar over Avesh Khan? I think I probably would go with Deepak Chahar over Avesh Khan. Definitely, like, sort of Bhuvneshwar Kumar, Ashdeep Singh, Jadeja,
Deepak Chahar can bat.
Yeah, Deepak Chahar can bat as well. Chahal and Hardik Pandya kind of 2 or 5, and if you have Deepak Chahar and, you know, Hardik Pandya giving that four overs is bonus. Any one of them, if they have a bad day,
yeah,
you can get that off. So it's kind of good to see, like, you know, the Indian bowling is it's just not just batting or the bowling. They're both kind of coming together, and there is variety in, like, you know, whereas if you look at the previous times and all, you know, it's kind of, you know, we were dependent on either the leggies, I mean,
yeah,
the whole, so the Dhoni captaincy was, like, you know, he loved his spinners and stuff. Did like that Kohli went a different way, like, you know, he wanted his fast bowlers kind of attack. But this one, this current team that's going in seems to have, like, quite a bit of variety in terms of, you know, you can bowl the bouncers, the swing, the left arm spin, the leg spin. There's quite a bit of variety there.
Of course, they do have a lot more options. I think if India's strongest chance to win World Cup, I believe. I think I've seen them now in UAE. Of course, this is no comparison to the conditions in Australia, but the belief, the general, camaraderie amongst the players, how they performed in England, it just, you get a feel, right?
That's what I was trying to say. Like, you just get that feel, like, watching them in England, in West Indies, the Ireland series, and this one as well. There is this, just that feel, like, you know, it's a different Indian team, and it's like, there is a far more. It's not kind of something that you can define and say, like, you know, oh, this is the difference. But you get that feel, like, you know, yeah, this team can actually do it again. As you've been saying, you know, cricket, you know, there's been a lot of things, you know, that there's a cliche about, like, you know, cricket can be won, lost in fine margins. I think in T20 it applies more than anything.
Yeah.
That fine margins of, talked about an over here, somebody having a bad day, and the game can slip. So that's obviously there. But you just kind of get that feeling, like,
yeah,
this team can go far in that World Cup.
Yeah, exactly. Just, you know, in the past, if you would have really looked at when India were chasing against Pakistan, Hardik Pandya never looked frazzled at all. I mean, he was like, "What? It's all right. We will be still doing it." And it's not, it was almost assumed that they were going to win it rather than, I mean, body language. Even with Dinesh Karthik, and in the past, you wouldn't have had that feeling. I mean, of course, with Dhoni, it still was. You had a sense of belief and comfort as a viewer, but then you always doubted, you know, what if he falls? Is there anybody? But I don't think if, for you know, example, you know, Hardik Pandya didn't click that game, I'm sure, you know, Dinesh Karthik would have finished. And I think that's the belief that I'm talking about. Yeah,
yeah, that's definitely there. So yeah, hopefully, like, you know, obviously Sri Lanka are getting there more than it was. Almost, what, 110 runs in about 12 overs?
Yeah, and they just missed a wicket off a no ball, and then they missed a review, even though the keeper went berserk about that appeal. So it's just interesting to watch the drama unfold.
it'll be interesting to see who makes the Super 4 on that. Then there's the Pakistan-Hong Kong games. Imagine if, like, you know, Hong Kong actually managed to beat Pakistan. I think, yeah, both the ACC in terms of the Asian Cricket Council and the broadcasters will have an absolute nightmare in terms of, because they've all banked around having at least three India-Pakistan games.
Yeah, exactly.
looking forward to it. You know,
a lot of broken TVs and televisions in our neighboring country, I suppose, and rightfully so. You know, I would get angry if my team lost to Hong Kong. But take nothing away. Again, coming back, respect where it's deserved in Hong Kong. Definitely have earned that place. They played with such energy. I mean, which very refreshing. It reminded me of some, I don't know if you went back to Zimbabwe of 99, you know, had that kind of everybody fielding, everybody's, you know, cheering everybody else. You know, there's some blistering performances here and there. So, yeah.
Good game to watch. I mean, it's the experience that they need, you know, the more they sort of keep playing, you know, getting up to 150, 160 is good. And as you said, before we finish, round of this, like, obviously there is a unofficial test match going on between New Zealand A, who are touring India. I think they are playing I remember rightly, couple of test matches. No, they're actually playing three test matches and a few ODIs. There's three test matches, three ODIs, and possibly T20s. No, just three 20s. And just looking at the, I mean, today was the day one, and New Zealand finished at about 156 for 5. Interesting to see India's lineup. You know, I mean, in the New Zealand lineup, I think Rachin Ravindra and Mark Chapman are the only couple of players who previously played for New Zealand, kind of in the first team or on the team. Whereas if you actually looked at, other than Kuldeep Yadav, I don't think there's anybody who's actually played in the Indian test team. But there are a number of players there who are what you would call the next generation, or
Rituraj Gaikwad.
On the fringes, if you like, you know. It would be interesting to see some new faces. Obviously, Shikhar Bharat, you know, he was with the Indian team in England, you know, as part of that last one-off test match, Priyan Panchal. I think he was also kind of on standby or anything. Some of the others, Kuldeep Yadav, obviously, he's already played for India. Then the likes of
Rajat Padithar,
Tilak Varma, Sarfraz Khan, Yash Dayal, and all came up with in the IPL. Most of those players, I think, are familiar to us from the sort of white ball IPL thing. But obviously, like, you know, they've all played well, you know, in the Ranji Trophy, which is why they made. So it's one definitely worth keeping an eye on. It's good to see. Actually, I think Mukesh Kumar has picked up 3 wickets, and then yesterday also pace has picked up the wickets rather than spin. Because usually you would think if Antipodean team like New Zealand, Australia come over, and they usually we create what used to be called, like, you know, dust tracks. But it's good to see, like, you know, Asan Nagvaswala, left arm medium, and similarly, like, you know, sort of Mukesh Kumar and Yashdayal, both sort of right arm medium pace bowling, actually picking up wickets. So that Kohli legacy of getting in more fast bowlers, good to see, like, you know, there is some more. We've seen all of the fast bowlers in the white ball side, but the red ball fast bowlers extras is also still carrying on. So there will be some new backup bowlers. I'm sure some of these bowlers will eventually look to play for India in the next few years. So we're probably worth keeping an eye out on them.
Yep, it is. It is good to see that India are deliberate about developing the next gen, and you can see that in the India Blues team, instead of just, you know, picking people willy-nilly and giving them the right exposure there.
The offer from the Asia Cup, you know, Sri Lanka just lost another wicket, I think.
Yeah, I think Vanika Rajapaksa as well, I think. It's going to be interesting, difficult. Vanika Rajapaksa is a very good, hard-hitting bat. So losing him at that point in time. There was a brief period in the game, just 2 or 3 overs back, that Sri Lanka seemed to have everything under control. Now it looks uphill task. Let's see. 60 balls, 100 runs. Yeah.
So, depending on this, then, you know, the Super Force, well, obviously after the Hong Kong-Pakistan match tomorrow, then the Super Force starts from Saturday till next week, getting on to the finals on the week on Sunday.
Yep.
So, look forward to that. But let's do a wrap at that point, you know. We'll catch up next week. If you do like the sound of this podcast, do support us by subscribing and downloading it on Spotify or any other platform that you use, and leave your review and ratings on that one. As usual, we are on Twitter at Yellow and Blues. So do interact with us until next week. Goodbye from Venkat and myself.